From the poorhouse to the palace, Bethel Baptist Church is pleased to bring you this uplifting program hosted by Dr. Doug Castle. Please stay with us and open your heart as Dr. Castle opens God's Word.
Well, as we close out this week, we're going to close out the Gospel of John today, and I hope it's been a blessing to you as we've gone along. We've been seeing the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after the resurrection. We know that after the resurrection, he appeared to the disciples for 40 days, was seen above 500 and displayed to them by many infallible proofs, indestructible, irrefutable proofs. And John tells us the first three times that Jesus appeared in the upper room the very day of the resurrection, and also again 8 days later to Thomas, and then by the shores of Galilee, where Peter went a fishing, and they got out of the will of God, and he's bringing them back. And yesterday we saw how Jesus brought Peter back into the will of God, but then Jesus and he began to get on board and do what the Lord had for him to do, feeding the lambs and the flock of God, and how Jesus was tender, even in his rebuke of them, and dealt with them. He chastened them. But he didn't beat up on him like a bully. But now Jesus here in verse number 18 is going to begin to tell Peter something about his life. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," speaking to Peter, "when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Now listen, some wonderful things here. One, Jesus told Peter, he said, "I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you when you're old." Now, I don't know if I'd want to know that or not, but Jesus told Peter, he said, "You're not going to be like a lot of people." He said, "There's going to become a point. You're not just going to die in the prime of life. You're not going to die as an old man, strong and healthy. You know, like Caleb, whose strength was the day that he was, you know, went into the promised land. And you think about Moses, whose natural force was not abated. He died healthy as a horse at 120. But Peter, he said, there's coming a time when you're going to be a cripple. Somebody's going to have to clothe you. Somebody's going to have to carry you. And they're going to have to feed you. And you know what? Peter, that old rough fisherman, I put Peter as one of those man-type men in my mind, a man's man. And men are a real man is of a very independent nature. We don't like to depend on anybody else. And we want to do it for ourselves. We don't want it to be a burden. And part of it's our pride. Part of it's just the nature. And this wasn't good news for Peter. But you know what he was going to learn in those days? He was going to learn some humility. And people depended on him, and he was going to depend on some people. God was going to take care of him. And he was going to learn some humility. And you know what we all need? We all need, a real man needs a dose of humility. And I don't think Peter was less of a man because he became a cripple. I think he probably, in his declining years, displayed more of his faith and dependence on God and was more of a man because he was more of a man of God. You could be a man or you could be a man of God. They don't conflict. But you'll never be a whole man without being a man of God. And Peter became man enough to be a man of God. And he spoke of a death that would glorify God. Let me ask you, Christians know how to die no more. You know, I have a book from the 1800s in my book called Dying Words of Saints and Sinners. I was talking to a friend about it one day, and it was said that, you know, you can't write that book today. You know why? Because everybody dies today. We all die doped up on morphine. As soon as we know we're checking out, we put us in comas and medicate us. And you know what? You don't hear a lost man die these days, and you don't hear a saved man die and what their last words are. We don't want to deal with death, so we make it comfortable. By the way, I'm not saying that it's wrong that those things are done, but I'm saying, I am saying this: you ought to learn, prepare yourself for death. Jesus prepared Peter for his death, and face your death like a Christian, and don't face it like the world does. And when it's time to die, have a death that will be glorifying and pleasing to God. And then he said this. He said to Peter what he said to him 3.5 years ago. He said, "Follow me. Follow me, Peter." Now, there is more than one word for follow in the Greek New Testament. One of those is the word imitea, which we get our word imitation from. Be like, imitate. Now, that's not the word that's used here. It's a different word. And the word here means to accompany, to walk along with, to go down the road. When he said, follow me, he said, walk with me. I'm going someplace. I want you to go with me. You accompany me, Peter. Peter, I'm not following you no more. You're going to follow me. You're going to walk along the road with me. And let me tell you something. Jesus told him what he was going to do and how he was going to die. And he said he would be with him. I love that verse. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He told the disciples to go into all the world, and he said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And that meant that we, his disciples today, he's with us today. And Peter, if you got to go down the road of life, you can't have a greater comfort than knowing that God's with you. Now, Peter couldn't help being himself a little bit. And it says this in verse 20, then Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Jesus and Peter were walking down that road right then, and he said, I want you to keep following me. Peter turned around, he's looking around, he's probably a little bit embarrassed, a little sheepish right now, and he sees John, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith, Lord, and what shall this man do? You know, John was the one that leaned on his breast and said, Lord, who's going to betray you? So Peter looks at John and says, What's John going to do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And Jesus repeated the words. Now look, this is what people say today, and this is the lesson here. Well, I go up to that church and I see all those hypocrites up there, and I see what they did, and I see what they are now and what they used to do and what they're like when they're not there. But God's people ain't going to live like God's people. I'm not going to either. And they quit following God. They quit doing God's will. They quit walking down the road with the Lord. Let me tell you something. It don't matter if anybody does anything for God. If you're the only one. Elijah felt like he was the only one, and he wasn't. And he didn't know the number of the 7,000, but he did. He kept doing what God told him to do. There was a time when Adam was the only one on earth doing what God told him to do. For it wasn't very long, and then he had his wife, and then whatever until the children came. Now look. It doesn't matter what anyone else does or is getting away with, and you don't know who's a tare and who is a wheat and who's who and what's what. Your job is to do God's will for your life. And Jesus said, if I wanted to sit here and not do anything till I come again, he said, what's it to you? He said, it's none of your stinking business. He said, follow thou me. It's not your business. Others' business is not your business. He said, we're to study to be quiet and to do our own business. It don't matter what anybody else does. If they're jerks, you be a Christian. You have a spirit of grace and mercy. And if they don't go soul winning, you go soul winning. If they don't come to church, you go to church. If they don't sing, you sing. If they don't pray, you pray. Somebody's got to do it. You be the one found right with God, whether the whole world's found wrong or not. Now, of course, the Bible says that the saying went abroad among the brethren that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Of course, everybody got it wrong. That's a problem today, too. They didn't listen to what Jesus said. He said, if I have him do. He didn't say that's what he would. He said, if I had him do that. He said, it's none of your business. And so they thought that there was a rumor that Jesus would return before the death of John. Of course, John's been dead for 1,900 years. So that's not what Jesus was saying. And then John gives his closing remarks. He said, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now, all throughout the Gospel of John, John's referred to himself as the disciple. He's saying, this is me. I, John. And I'm telling you the truth. I am telling you, as he said in 1 John, that which we have seen and handled, the word of life, which our eyes have seen, our hands have handled. And he said, I've seen him with mine eyes. I've handled him with my hand. I leaned on his breast. I've hugged him. I've walked with him. And he said, there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. John said that if you took everything that Jesus did in the 3.5 years that he was here, he said, and wrote it down, the world could not hold the record. Jesus went about doing good. Boy, I wonder what those things were. Maybe we'll know in heaven someday. Do you know what I know? Jesus is still doing things right now. He has been for 2,000 years. You know what? I know I'm nobody from nowhere. But God's done some things in my life, and he's done some things that nobody knows but me and him. And one day the book of works is going to be open, And we're going to see God's work in every man's life for the last 2,000 years. Heaven can retain the records. Heaven does hold the records. And we're going to see all that Jesus did for us. You know, look, you can go back 40 years. Our church is 160-some years old. And you can go back 40 years and barely remember who the pastor was, let alone anything that went on. You know, when my time is done here, within 40 years, if Jesus was to tarry, nobody would know. I would just be another name on the church roll. Well, we have the name of all the pastors that have been here for 160 years, but that's what they are, a list of names. We didn't know them, what was done. But God in heaven knows. He keeps the records, and one day he'll open the record. We'll see all the good things that God has done for us. I hope John's gospel has been an encouragement to you. It's helped me, beloved. And we'll look forward to where the Lord leads us next. And you join us next week as the Lord gives you the opportunity. God bless you is our prayer until then.
No longer a pauper.
You've been enjoying the program From the Poorhouse to the Palace. Find Pastor Castle's Bible commentaries and other resources when you visit the website bbclinton.com. Archive broadcasts of this radio program are available at wytjradio.com. Listen to the latest broadcast wherever you are, or catch up on what you missed whenever you want by subscribing to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts. Just search From the Poorhouse to the Palace. From the poor-